Hi, we're the Florio family. My name's Tony.
I'm Casey. This is Isla.
I'm Evie.
I'm Elijah.
We're going to be doing your Advent reading for today.
In the 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary.
The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants, for his kingdom will never end."
Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this season. Thank you for this Advent time, and thank you for sending your son Jesus here for us, here to show us how to love one another. And thank you so much for the hope that he brought with him. As we go through this season, I just pray that you're with us and watch over us, as we know that you always do. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. No, just a quick poll. Who's all done with Christmas shopping and wrapping and everything's ready to go? Okay, we're all in the same boat. I figure I better start. I have a few weeks left. Well, not even a few, and my wife's here, so she knows now how far behind I might be. But hopefully, as you prepare for Christmas and you prepare your heart for what the Lord is doing, being here on a Sunday morning or watching online is part of your Christmas celebration. I have to start by sharing an experience I had last night, and one that, as I've reflected on, it's a little concerning to me, to be honest. We were at a birthday party last night, and there were 10 of us there, and there were two people who were celebrating their 50th birthday. Now, this is the first part that was concerning to me. I now am in circles where friends are celebrating their 50th birthday. It happened overnight. It happened like that, and here we are, and I'm not too far behind them, but last night it was fun to give them a little extra love, if you know what I mean, as they turned 50. So for both of you, congratulations. And the other part that was very concerning to me was actually when we sang happy birthday. Do you ever just shake, you know, you take 10 random people, you put them in a room, and you say, "Here, sing this together." And scripture says to make a joyful noise, and I think that's what happened. There was a lot of joy, but it wasn't very good. And in fact, one of the guys recorded it and sent a video out, and I can confirm to you that it has it was awful. I'll just not even try to say it politely. We didn't sing very well. And that sort of lends to where we are as a church with our current series. We're talking about heaven and nature singing at the coming of the Lord. How in scripture says, even the rocks would cry out if we didn't. It's such a huge and monumentous occasion. But it's interesting that music and singing is so good for our souls. Have you ever considered this? It elevates your mood. When the right song comes on the radio and you're driving down the road, doesn't it do something and you just crank it up? Maybe you don't drive faster, at least you shouldn't, but something happens inside of you and your mood changes. I've also had the right song come on at the right time, and my anxiety and stress levels just seem to fade away because something about the music and the way it speaks to my soul. Sometimes music can be a good help for depression. If you're feeling anxious and depressed, like I said, the right song can help. It manages physical pain, it helps people eat less, and it provides comfort. Music is an incredible gift from God. And that's why this Christmas season, we're focusing on four songs in scripture that talk about or lead up to or precede the birth of Jesus. Songs that explain and tell of his goodness and why he came and the difference he's going to make or made in our world. And that's the series we're in the middle of. And as you've noticed, as you came in today, there were kids singing a joyful noise in the lobby. Wasn't that wonderful? I could have sat and listened to them all day, but I had to come in here. And then Also on social media on Sunday afternoons, we're posting Christmas songs that our bands have recorded. So throughout the week, you can listen to those songs as well as we continue in that celebration. Last week, we talked about Zechariah in his song as he burst out in song after his son was born. And I put out a challenge, and I hope you've considered it this last week, that this would be a time of year where you proclaim Jesus in the circles in which you walk in, live in, the people you come in contact with, that maybe you would take this Christmas season as an opportunity to share the joy and the hope that comes through Jesus. Just like John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus, that this Christmas season I challenge that maybe we would prepare the way for people to understand who Jesus is and how important his birth was. And today we turn our attention to Mary, Jesus' mother, and her song. Her song, as we'll get to in just a few moments, again speaks of the goodness of God and what Jesus came to do and how he set people free. But before we get to her song, we need to understand Mary just a little bit better. You see, Mary was just a normal, typical teenage girl when this magnificent and unbelievable thing happened to her. And it was probably a very typical day for Mary. She probably woke up roughly at the same time she did every other day. And as she got up, she probably ate breakfast. And as most kids in this culture, there were morning chores and things to do and things that were required of her day in and day out. And maybe somewhere between cleaning up for breakfast and preparing for lunch or tending to the animals, she had an encounter with God that forever changed her life. In the middle of the routine, in the middle of the normal, God stepped into her world. Now you have your normal, right? You can probably predict tomorrow morning, depending on where you are in your stage of life, you're gonna wake up at relatively the same time you do every Monday. You're gonna get ready for work or school, or you're gonna get ready to go do your day the way you normally do. You're gonna read the paper, eat breakfast, and go about life as it's a normal day. Very similar to Mary's normal day. But in Mary's normal rhythm of life, everything changes. Somewhere between cleaning up from breakfast and preparing for dinner, she hears these words as an angel appears to her. "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Just pause there for just a moment. What in the world? Here's this precious teenage girl going through her normal day as she does every day when all of a sudden an angel of the Lord appears to her. Anybody ever have that experience? The scriptures go on to say that she was greatly troubled. Of course she was. She was talking to an angel. And as the angel shared with her and they had this interaction and the angel began to peel back the layers of about what was to happen, Mary's heart just had to be leaping within her chest. Her mind had to be racing, thoughts of the future and the past and what might come and what might never happen as her plans are suddenly changed. Everything is different for her. In scripture, we see a number of places where angels spoke to people. You remember the fathers of the faith with Moses and Abraham had similar encounters. But here's Mary. At least Moses and Abraham were men, and in that culture it mattered. But for an angel to talk to Mary was so interesting and out of place. But yet the angel speaks to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. The Lord, the God Almighty, is with you." I wish I was there to see her reaction. Later in Luke, just a few verses later, this is what it says starting in verse 30, chapter 1, verse 30. "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Ever. His kingdom will never end." Those were unbelievable words to hear. I imagine as Mary's sitting there, she's hearing that you're going to conceive and give birth to a son. She's wondering, how in the world is that possible? And not only will you give birth to a son, but check this out, Mary. He's going to be the Son of God. Just try that on. Your son is going to be the Son of God. He's going to sit on the throne of David. And you know what? Unlike earthly kings, he's going to reign forever. Your son, your child, is going to reign forever. His kingdom will never end. Now, I imagine her mind was racing. She had to gather her thoughts. I can't imagine what was going on between her ears in this moment. And then Mary responds to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin? How is this possible? How is this going to happen, seeing as I'm a virgin? And besides that, what will my parents think? What will our community think, and those who see me and know that I'm not married yet, what will they think? And what will my fiance think? What will Joseph think?" Incredibly confusing time for this teenage girl, as an angel of the Lord spoke to her and told her the most unbelievable things. So Mary asks her question, and the angel responds, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." I wish I could have been in this room or wherever this happened as it all transpired. I wish I could have seen Mary's physical reaction. Was she initially standing, and then as she heard all this, did she fall back into a chair? Just stunned by the realities of what the angel just told her? Was she sitting there with her head in her hands, just thinking about what all of a sudden is going to be asked of her? What did she look like? Was she crying? Were there tears of joy? Did she say, "Maybe this is exactly why I was created"? And she stood up and she just couldn't wait to take on this challenge. We don't know what her physical reaction was. The scriptures don't record it, but we do know what she said. "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Mary's response was to surrender to the will of God. Mary's response was to say, "Yes, here I am, use me, do as you say." As incredible and fanciful as this sounds, I'm good with it. I will do it. Mary's response was one of obedience, saying, "I surrender to the will of God." That's an unbelievable response. In this encounter, Mary experienced an angel. She believed in her heart that what this angel said was true, and she said yes, and then God used her to do incredible things. We can all learn from Mary's situation and her story in our own lives. Just reflect back, even on the last week or month. Have you felt the nudging of the Holy Spirit to do something out of your normal routine? Have you felt the Lord telling you to go and talk to this person, to interact in this way, to buy this Christmas gift anonymously for this person? Have you heard and felt the Holy Spirit nudge your heart? And if you have, what have you done? Have you answered like Mary and say, "I am the Lord's servant, may your word be fulfilled"? Or have you pushed back and said, "You know what? I'm not sure about that"? Mary experienced the grace of God in this encounter. Mary experienced the grace of God in its fullness and beauty. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Grace is the dimension of the divine activity that enables God to confront human indifference and rebellion with, listen to this, inexhaustible capacity to forgive and to bless." God has an inexhaustible capacity to forgive and bless. In the face of our rebellion, in the face of human sin, God can look at us and he can say, "I forgive you and I bless you." Forgiveness is such a tricky word. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is actually ourselves. We've done things in our history, in our lives, that when we look back, we can never get past. We can never forgive ourselves and move on to the other side. We hold on, it becomes a snare, a trap in our hearts. But if God has this inexhaustible capacity to forgive and bless us, don't you think we should forgive ourselves and release whatever that might be, to be gracious to ourselves as God is gracious to us? But here's Mary, experiencing the fullness of God's grace. She was a human. She lived in a fallen world. And as a human, she was imperfect. It's just the way it works. In Romans 3:10, it actually says, "No one righteous, there's no one righteous, not even one." Not even one. Mary experienced the grace of God to forgive and to bless her, this inexhaustible capacity to look into her world and to use her to do incredible things. The inexhaustible capacity of God to forgive and bless is on display for all of us to embrace. He's sitting there waiting and willing, and it's up to us to say, "Yes, God, I embrace your forgiveness and your blessings in my life." At Revive Wesleyan, we desire to be an undeniable force of God's hope, healing, and grace impacting generations to come. It's important for us to see that God has endless grace and capacity to forgive and bless. Mary experienced it, and we can too. Does that fire anybody up? To know that God's grace has rested on you, and no matter where you've been, what you've done, he embraces you fully. Mary's question of how will this be? I'm a virgin is not a question of unbelief, as I've read and studied the passage. It's more a question of how is this actually going to happen? As I'm a virgin, how am I going to have a child? What does that mean? What's the practical way that this is going to happen? She believed the promise and she was inquiring, how in the world is this going to work? So when Gabriel explained it would be a miracle, that the work of the Holy Spirit would overshadow her, and that she actually would be the Holy of Holies, that God would reside in her just as he resided in the temple, now he would reside in Mary. That as the Holy Spirit enveloped her and overcame her, she would become pregnant with the Son who would ever change everything. How do we know Mary believed the word of God? "I am the Lord's servant," she said. "May your word to me be fulfilled." She believed. She said, "I am in." When Moses met with God in the burning bush and said, and this is Moses' response, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" He doubted that that was even a possibility. And Abraham, when met with God, he said, he fell face down on his face and laughed when he told he was going to have a son because he was so old. Abraham laughed. Moses said, "Who am I?" Mary said, "I am the Lord's servant. May your will be done in me." I am the Lord's servant. Whatever he asks, may it be done. May your word to me be fulfilled. Isn't that incredible? Mary believed the word of God. Then as Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God, Mary could be used by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the will of God. When she experienced his grace and his goodness, when she believed the word that the angel shared with her, when she had those things in her heart, she could then be used by God to change her world, to change our worlds in her case. Everything changed for Mary at this point. All of her friends probably looked at her a little bit different. Her family and her community knew that something was up because she wasn't quite married to Joseph yet and she has this child. And in that culture, that was incredibly difficult for people to grasp. Everything about this teenage girl's life was suddenly different. But God was going to use her to do things that nobody had ever dreamt possible. In just a little bit later in Luke 2, we see the Lord was speaking to some shepherds. And in this interaction, this is what happens. It's really quite beautiful. The scripture says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Mary's life was flipped upside down so that the Messiah, the Lord, Jesus, God incarnate, Jesus, God in flesh, could come and dwell among us. It was God's desire to send a Savior to the world. He knew the messed up situation that we were in. And even in Israel's history, there were patriarchs and prophets and judges and kings, none of which did anything that ultimately led to Israel's salvation. They led with truth and military power, or maybe they led with lies, as some of them did, but nothing was final. But here in Jesus, a baby was born that would be the final sacrifice, the deliverer of all, the one who would fulfill all the Old Testament prophecies. You see, Jesus was the plan from the beginning. Jesus was the plan from the very beginning. Throughout the Old Testament, you see fingerprints and signs pointing to Jesus, prophecies about Jesus that paved the path for him to come just in the way he did, to live just as he did, to die just as he did for you and for me. Mary surrendered herself as God's willing servant to have all of this accomplished through her life, every bit of it. Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God, and therefore could be used by the Spirit to accomplish the will of God. Just think about that. It's a mouthful. Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God. She experienced his grace, believed his word, and therefore could be used by the Holy Spirit to accomplish the will of God. Not long after this encounter, she went to spend time with Elizabeth, who we spoke about last week. And it ties in beautifully because, you know, remember, Elizabeth was pregnant also miraculously in her old age. And her child paved the way for Jesus, as John the Baptist was Elizabeth's child. And when Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and I suppose John, there's this great joy that bubbles up from the scripture. As Mary arrives, there's three expressions of joy. First, Elizabeth was filled with joy. And the scripture says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." Elizabeth couldn't take it anymore. She knew the baby that Mary carried. And as this conversation went on, the baby within Elizabeth leapt. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt inside her womb. John the Baptist knew that Mary was there and the Savior was in her womb, and he leapt inside his own mother's womb. And there's a third story of joy. Mary was filled with joy also. Wouldn't you be? Having this most incredible thing happen, this most incredible baby is present inside her womb, and she just oozes with joy at this moment. In Luke 1, 46 through 55, we hear her song, her story, singing and telling of the greatness of what's happening in her life. And it's called the Magnificat, if you haven't heard of it before. And it's a beautiful song, as it's referred to, as Mary sings of the joy of what's happening. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been merciful of the humble. He has been merciful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations, can you hear her emotion, will be blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has lifted the hungry with good things and set the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel remember to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary's joy compelled her to sing. It compelled her to lift her voice in a hymn of praise. This fullness of her joy and praise can be present in our lives too. Mary had hidden scripture in her heart. She, in this song, you see the Psalms and you see the song from Hannah present. But Mary hid those words in her heart, and they bubbled up in this song of praise. And there's three recipients of the blessings in this song. First, what God did for Israel. He will save his people from their sins. Despite Israel's destitute condition, despite them being a mess spiritually, not really focusing on God, in this song, we see Mary declaring that God is sending a savior, a Messiah, to his chosen people. This is reason to celebrate, to have great joy. He will follow through on his blessing, on his promise to Abraham, his covenant to Abraham, and he will allow his people to flourish. This will be a blessing for the whole world. Mary's singing that my child will be a blessing to the whole world. It's also what God did for Mary. Mary needed to trust the Lord for her salvation also. She said it. She said, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Not only was Mary the mother of Jesus, but Jesus was also Mary's Savior. Mary had no problem singing of God's greatness because she had experienced this most incredible miracle. She had been told things that no mother had ever been told before about her son. And now it spilled out. It spilled out. And she rejoices in her Savior being born. And then lastly, the song speaks of the blessings that come to you and me. All these years later, all these generations later, how they bless you and me. Other translations would translate it a bit differently and say, all of God's people who fear him for generations to come will experience his goodness and his blessing. We, listen, you, all of us have been offered his mercy. And sometimes we can see it and other times we can't recognize it. But his mercy has been present in your life for years. You've experienced his help, whether you've understood it or not, as he tries to draw close to you, as he does things in your life to try and pull you in so you understand who he is. His mercies have been on us our whole lives. I love that Mary makes sure to mention that the humble and the hungry will inherit all of this because in her culture, the humble and the hungry were overlooked. They were irrelevant. And I dare to say in our world today, the humble and the hungry are often overlooked too. But Mary said, this Savior is for everybody. Everyone. Mary saw the Lord turning everything upside down, that his kingdom, the weak would dethrone the mighty and the humble would scatter the proud, where the nobodies are exalted and where the hungry are filled, where the poor become rich, but not necessarily financial riches. They become rich in spirit as they're filled with the goodness and the beauty of the Lord. They are filled from the inside out with this richness that no one could ever take away from them. Mary was declaring that this baby in her womb would change everything. So here's my question. Do you feel weak or hungry or poor or like you don't matter? Do you feel that today or have you felt it recently? Like the world is raging on and racing on and you're sort of sitting on the sidelines and all this is going on and you're saying, what in the world is happening? I hope that as a result of today, you take heart knowing that God is at work in the middle of even all that's happening in our world today. That he's at work in your life, he's in work in all of our lives, molding us and shaping us and showing us his mercies anew every day. He's filling us so that we become rich in spirit, so that when we do take on the challenges of this world, we're filled, we're ready. Receive his grace, believe his word to you, be willing to be used by him to do incredible things, to accomplish his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Are you ready for that? Mary experienced the grace of God and believed the word of God and therefore could be used by the Spirit of God to accomplish the will of God. And I dare to say, you can experience the grace of God and you can believe the word of God and therefore the Holy Spirit can use you to accomplish the will of God each and every day. as we close our service in worship today, as we finish with this last song, I want you to ponder these things in your heart, to understand the goodness of the grace of God, to understand his word is a message to you and me, and that when we believe what his word says, that the Holy Spirit will use us in the dark places in our world, maybe even the dark places of your heart, to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring hope and joy. I hope that this Christmas season, that's what you experience. The hope, the joy, the peace, the grace of God that is present in Jesus. If you would like prayer today after service, just out these doors to my right, to your left, there's a place called the living room. And there's always people there after every service who are willing to pray with those who feel they need someone to come alongside them and pray, either based on something that was said or something going on in your life. So if you feel that tug, head out those doors after service, and there's always people there willing to pray for you. But I hope today that you're ready to receive his grace, you're ready to believe his word, and you're ready to seek the Holy Spirit's leading to accomplish God's will and work in the world, just like Mary. God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this chance to talk about things like this that matter so greatly to us. As we look back roughly 2,000 years to this teenage girl who was told she was going to have a baby, we thank you for the ways in which you worked in her life to forever change the course of history. How her baby was the Messiah, the Lord, the chosen one, the one who would come and make all things right. Father, I pray that as we hear that we would believe it with all of who we are, and that our hearts would be sold out for you. That we would experience your grace, we would believe your word, and that your Holy Spirit would use us to do your will in the world. Father, as we close with this final song, let this be our prayer to you today. Let this be our heart song, giving you glory and honor. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.